Today we are talking about the gifts of God, and we're in James 1:17, and that's where we're launching from. I'll have a lot of scriptures that we're going to be going through today. I'll be quoting or reading several scriptures. Some we'll actually turn to, and we'll look at, and so there's, I don't know how many, but there's going to be more than you'll be able to flip to. And so what I've done, and I've put in the middle of every table some scriptures, or I didn't put it, but Ron put them there for me. But for you to carry those home, and if anything rings a bell for you, circle that. And remember, let's always be found faithful to seek out the things that are in God's Word, and never simply take a man's word for it. And if I may, from the soundboard, it sounds like I'm really heavy in the monitors, and it's ringing and tinging, and now I'm not at all. Was I only in the monitors, or am I in the house too? Or okay. Well, y'all do whatever you have to do, and if it's too loud, y'all move back. If it's not loud enough, you move forward, and that's a good thing. But Christmas, it's a time that, you know, bright lights, it's rejoicing, it's fun, there's different memories that come from it, but it's traditionally a time for giving, and we see that we exchange so many different ways. Sometimes it's out of love for somebody. Sometimes we are compelled because that's just what we do. But the reality is, unfortunately, grateful as we always would want them to be. ING, the corporation, they've done a survey the past 3 years of Christmas spending, and they found that 40% of people in the U.S. will re-gift a gift this year. 40%. So that means like everybody on this side is going to re-gift a gift this year. Let's just put it into perspective. It's not just in America, though. It's also in the Europeans are more apt, about 25%. But Europeans, especially the British, about 10% of them, they won't re-gift it. They'll just give it back. It's like, I just didn't like this. And that's what the study shows. But it's really things that that deal with personal, you know, appeals, personal taste, things like perfume, cosmetics, ornaments, clothing, things that you would usually find gift wrapped or gift packaged in a gift pack in the middle aisle of Walmart. Those are the things that they find that are gifted the most. And then 70% of the people who responded agreed that Christmas was often too focused on spending. And so why do we give? We're going to be looking at what God has given us to kind of bring a perspective into our giving and how we should give, and that is how it was modeled through God. Many of us give or get the idea of giving because of what we saw with the wise men, the magi. That's in Matthew 2, verses 10 through 11. We're not going to look there, but you know the story of the wise men, and they come and they brought three gifts, something that we've celebrated in our family. Since the beginning, is we give three gifts. We're like, you know, Jesus got three. You know, you definitely aren't Jesus, so you don't get any more than Jesus did, right? And not quite like that. I said it with an attitude. That's not it at all. Again, remember, never mind. 2 Corinthians 8, 7 and 8, Paul encouraged the churches to give gifts. It was a financial gift to meet their needs. And But that encouragement was, it was voluntary, and also is motivated by love. And that's the same for many of us. It's voluntary, and it's an act of love for a family member, for a friend, for somebody who is close to us. And that type of giving, and we don't find just at Christmas time. We express it the most at Christmas time, but it's really an example that we find that's year round. That we're supposed to be giving as God would lead us to. But giving can become a focus for Christmas, and so much so to where we get our eyes off of Jesus, and who is, you know, not to be cliche, but the reason for the season. But giving gifts does not have to take our focus off of Christ. And that's what I hope that we will do today. But as we focus on the wonderful gift, and as we give, and as we look at for that perfect thing, for that perfect person, or there are no perfect people, right? But giving to other people often is a natural just gratitude that we have for what God has done in our life, and for gratitude for that person. And so it is an act of love, and that's what we're about. We're about loving God, about loving other people, living according to His word, and this is an act of loving other people. So the question is, as we go in this, what motivates us to give? Is it because we're under compulsion? Oh, well, we got to get something, so we run into Walmart and we get that middle, you know, thing out of the middle aisle and throw it in the cart, and it's done. It looks pretty. We don't care what's inside it, but it's packaged well. Or you can even find it in the grocery stores, different things. Men, do not buy your wife's gift from a grocery store, okay? Unless she wants something from the grocery store, then let it be. But the key here is really our focus. It's really our focus. And so how does the ultimate gift giver, our graciously heavenly Father, how does He give? And that's what we're going to be looking at James 1:17 today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to You in the name of Jesus, and as we open up Your word, Lord, I pray that You would also help us open up our hearts. And Lord, that You would transform us today in the likeness of Your Son. Teach us, Father, to be more like You. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So James 1:17. Now the context of this scripture is really somewhat negative, or not negative, where James is talking about temptation, and he's saying, hey, temptation is not of God. He's saying that it's, you know, it's out of our own evil and our own evil desires, our own lust, and it's not of God. And he's telling us that God is only good. God only gives good gifts, and God his desire is to see us to be born again and have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. And so he comes and he's contrasting that with God. So some negative things going on, and he's saying, hey, that's not of God. God is a good God. And that's where we come in James 1:17. And the verse says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Amen. So first we see several things, that He is our Father, and He never leaves us in the dark. He has, the darkness is the opposite of God. When we find things in Scripture that speak about darkness, we're usually looking at things like guilt, shame, personal disappointment, hurting others, secrecy, hidden affairs, things that we don't want other people to know about. Those are the things that we put in the darkness. But we see the things of God, that there are things that are talked about in the light, things that darkness wants to hide from, things that darkness, dark things can't exist in, because the light always overcomes the dark. Things that God gives, they give us joy. They are good for us. And sometimes the gifts that He gives us, and the things that He brings into our lives, and the things that he provides for us, are really sometimes painful. They really can be painful. But they're for our good. And they're better, I mean, and it's to help us become better men, better women, better people overall, better followers of Christ. But they are things to build us up, things that perfect us, things that mature us, that things that provide assurance for us, things that give us strength, things that help us make that next step, things that, again, like I said, helps us ultimately be transformed more into the image of Jesus Christ. And that's God's, that's his whole thing. He, you know, there's a list of wants that we have. There's a list of wants that I have, and I can tell you why I need them. But there are a list of wants that God has for us, and they all point to the same thing, to where we become more transformed into the image of his Son. About being God being the Father of Light, Psalms 27:1. And again, I'm going to go through and I'm going to start nailing some scriptures. You have a copy of them there. I encourage you to go and study them as you desire. But Psalms 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Micah 7:8 says, "When I fall, I shall rise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." And then Revelations 21:23, which is a beautiful passage. I mean, this is the ultimately what Christmas is going to lead to, is that you know, Jesus throughout the Old Testament talked about the Messiah coming, and it talked about that the Messiah would come, and then he begins an age of grace, and we're now in the midst of the age of grace, and Jesus promised that he's coming again, and he's preparing a place for us, and this is a description of that place, of heaven. But Revelation 21, verses 23 and through 27, then we're going to jump to 22, verse 5. So 23 and 27, in the verses where it says, "And the city," talking about Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, you know, Trump just called the capital of Israel Jerusalem, but there will be a, not that Jerusalem, but there will be a new Jerusalem, and this is important to God. That's a whole nother thing that I don't want to go to. "But I saw no temple in it," is what the word says, "for the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no," listen to this, this is cool. This is cool. "And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And it says, the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And it says, in the daytime, for there will be no night there, its gates will never be closed." And we'll keep on in 26. "And they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? It talks about the new Jerusalem that has come. It's talking about heaven. There will be no need for any light. No sun, no moon. That God's glory itself will shine. And that's just beautiful. 22 verse 5. Tells us, and again, it says the same thing there, "And there will no longer be any night." Amen. And they will not have need of the light of a lamp nor the light of the sun. And it says, because the Lord God will illuminate them, and they will reign forever and ever. He is the Father of light. It describes all that he is. He is pure, he is wonderful, he is loving, and all that is dark is not of God. And so again, going back to the Lamb's Book of Life, I wonder, that'll be a good day. You know, we celebrate Good Friday and around Easter. And I mean, that was a good Friday. The better Friday is, I don't know if it'll be Friday or not, but it'll be the better day will be when he comes back again. And then the best day will be when our name is read from the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're not confident today that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I'm telling you, there is a gift of God. His name is Jesus Christ. And he has come into the world to show God's love. And he comes and he says, repent of our sins. He is a God who loves us. He died for us. And we're going to talk about that here too. And he says, by faith, how do we get in the Lamb's Book of Life? It says in Romans 10:9, that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we shall be saved. And so we're talking about gifts. If you're following along and you're listening outline today, we're talking about gifts. And let's go ahead and the gift of Jesus is the first one. And we're going to go ahead and we'll do the second one as well. And we'll compile all this together. So gift of Jesus, the gift of life. And so listen to some of these scriptures that I'm going to read about. The gifts of Jesus, the gift of life. And listen to, again, this, the life. I mean, the fact that we have air running through our lungs and that we exist is a gift of God. And why would we put Jesus there? You'll see that in just a minute. It says, the earth is the Lord's. I'm reading from Psalms 24:1. Again, I'm going to go so fast, you're not going to be able to flip through them all when I stop. You'll see me flipping. You can flip there. They're all in front of you there. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Everything is God's. Think about it. Every Christmas toy, every Christmas thing, everything that we see exists. If you've taken earth science, you know it comes from the earth. Everything, plastic, wood, your clothing, the synthetics, chemicals, everything, it comes from the earth in some way. And this passage here says, it is His, and even all those who dwell in it, they are God's. Genesis 2:7 says, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then man came became a living being. So we see the mankind, and we know from the rib he created Eve, created woman. Listen here. He breathed his nostrils. I mean, breathed his breath of life into his nostrils. I mean, that's kind of graphic. I mean, it's kind of weird. But that's awesome. The breath that runs through our body is that which God put there. Even if for those folks who are not a follower of Christ, it is still his breath that gives life in this age of grace. Colossians 1, verses 13. And I'm flipping to that one if you want to flip. And I didn't put a bookmark there, so you might be able to beat me there. Colossians 1, verses 13 through 17. It says, and it's talking about Christ here. For Christ rescued us from the domain of darkness. Amen. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And it says that he, talking about Jesus still, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn. Listen to this, the firstborn of all creation, and for by him all things were created. And I lost my place, I got excited. Both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I mean, that's through Jesus Christ. Our life, our existence, us floating at whatever, wherever we are and whatever speed we're doing it, revolving and rotating and doing things, it is Christ that all that was created through. God, our Elohim, the great creator, put all that into motion. And not only did he put it in motion, he didn't put it into motion and leave us. What we just read here, he sustains it. Everything in your life and the fact that we can exist is because of the work of Jesus Christ, or the work of God through Jesus Christ. And then if we can look at John 1, verses 1 through 5, and a very common passage to us. And the last one that I just read and this one, those are good to circle and go home and just study and to open up and to meditate on. Diagram, I mean, they're just good. It's all good. And but talking about the deity of Jesus Christ, and this is from John 1, verses 1 through 5, where it says, in the beginning, like this is like before us, okay? And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. He, again, talking about Jesus Christ here. And it says, all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light shines in the darkness, and what does it say? The darkness can't what? Comprehend it. Can't comprehend it. He is the Father of lights, and he is the giver of good things, both physical and spiritual, and they are through Jesus Christ, the gifts that God has given us. First is Jesus, through whom all things were created, and then He has given us life. And then we know that the life exists in the believing and the unbelieving, and grace exists for all people, all mankind, believing and unbelieving. But then there is the gift of salvation. That's our next one. The gift of Jesus, the gift of life, the gift of salvation. Many of you can quote this with me, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have what? Have eternal life. He gave. God gave first. You know, we wonder about giving to God. We wonder about being, you know, death to self, and we talk about those type of things in our small groups and things. But we can't outgive God, and we give only because He has given first. And we're really only giving back to Him that which is really already His. And so, He's just an amazing, gracious God. In Matthew 1:21, He came as a child to, remember we talked about this 2 weeks ago, to save His people from their what? From their sins. He came. There was purpose. Hebrews 2:17, therefore He had to be made like His brethren in all things, talking about Jesus again here, so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make a propitiation, that means to take the place of us, for the sins of the people. That was Jesus' purpose for coming. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see that? The free gift of God. We can't earn it. There's nothing that we've done that's good enough. There's nothing that we can do. I mean, not giving more, not doing more, not loving more, being whatever. You can't earn it. It's not by merit. It's by the free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Romans 8:31-32, it says, if God is for us, who is against us? Amen. You going through a tough time now? I mean, the worst thing that can happen to us is this physical part of us ends. But there's eternal life. This life that we come, this salvation leads to eternal life. We all, mankind, must pass away. I mean, it's just a reality of life. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, he calls it a temporary tent, and he's preparing for us a permanent building. Now, we're really not going to become a building, but it's just a metaphor that this life here is temporary. It's for us to come into this age of grace, and will we choose Him or will we not, whenever He comes and calls into our life. It's a free gift of our God. And then, but if God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Give us all things. What are we talking about? Give us all things. Boy, I want this, I want that, I want this. Boy, my Christmas list is this long, and it's about $1 million worth of stuff, right? No, it's not talking about. It's an eternal perspective. What is waiting and in preparation for us as we're sitting in the midst of the Father of lights is incomprehensible. It's incomprehensible. It's amazing. And then, but again, every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from who? The Father of lights. And so we have the gift of Jesus, the gift of life, the gift of salvation. Next we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now there's a progression that we've gone through here. The gift of Jesus, he was before all mankind, before all creation. Creation was made through him. We saw that in Scripture. Then the gift of life, and that's all mankind, everybody. He has given life. But then there's the gift of salvation, where God has worked in people's lives, that he has called them to salvation, and those have come to a place to understand that God loves them and that sent Jesus Christ. And so we really, at number three, we kind of separated people. Not we, but now we're moving into believers. Not everybody has the gift of the Holy Spirit if they are not truly saved. And so the gift of the Holy Spirit, Luke 11:13. Now this is in the context of ask, seek, knock. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. And talking again about eternal things, things that line up with God's will, with God's purposes. And you know, remember he's saying, you know, what father among you will give your, if your son asks for a fish, you're going to give him a scorpion, or give him, and he asks for an egg, and well, it's a snake, and then the scorpion. But what it says there, if then you being evil, talking about us, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so you're thinking, okay, our kids are asking for good things to them, and talking about food, provision for different things here. And then he replies, I'm going to give you, and how much more will I give you the Holy Spirit? Because there's no greater gift than that. For us walking on this earth, if we have the Holy Spirit, it means that we have come to a place of salvation, that our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that we have come to be a part of what God is doing. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, and for whatever reason, he wants to work through us and to become a part of the work that he is doing in this earth. And but what he writes there is, again, just beautiful, of how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He's giving, he's giving, he's giving. He's a giving Father. And then what do we know about the Holy Spirit? We know that the Holy Spirit influences us to come, first of all, it brings conviction into our life. He is our guide, he's our counselor, he's our advocate, he even prays for us. In Romans 8, it talks about that he intercedes on our behalf beyond what we even know, beyond words. Beyond words. He is a God that has given, a God who has gave, and a God who continually gives to us. But the gift of the Holy Spirit, part of that is to know God, to know ourselves, to come into a place, into the transformation and the likeness of Jesus Christ, and then also to believe in and love Jesus Christ. That is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then the gift of giving. The gift of giving. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and there's more to that. We're going to read from Romans 12 now. So there's the gift of Jesus, to whom all things are created. Through him all things are created. Then there's the gift of life. Then there's the gift of salvation. Then there's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then there is the gift of giving. Let's read in Romans. Romans 12. We're going to read 1 through 6. And Romans 12. And this is, I mean, this is, it really reflects giving of ourselves in every way. But what does it say here? It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, he's talking about gifts. Brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you know you were pagans one time. And it says, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That goes with our last point. And it says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and are a variety, varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I went into verse 7 there too. But we see here that we have been given gifts. And we can go through and we can study all those different gifts. We can read Romans 12. We can read 1 Corinthians 12. We've read those together before. But we've all been given something. And we see that gift is clearly is something that comes from the Holy Spirit, that comes from God, that's been given to us for the purpose of coming together for our common good. There's value in the gathering. There's value in the church family. I have gifts, you have gifts, and we complement one another. And there are things you can do that I can't do or that God wants to do through you and things that God wants to do through me. And together, when we come together as one, then we become the image of Christ, and the works of God do amazing things through us. It's His church. It is the answer in this age of grace for a lost world. I mean, but look at just in the first few verses, we see that this reflects that we have had the gift of giving. We have been given a gift that is not supposed to just merely stay in us, but is supposed to keep on going through us. Physically, we saw in verse 1, it says, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. All that you are, all that you have, all that you do, He wants all of us. We saw that in verse 1. Also in verse 1, spiritually, it talks about your spiritual service of worship. Again, these gifts that He has given us, they lead us physically, they lead us spiritually. In verse 2, it talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So now we have mentally every aspect of who we are. And then in verse 3, it says, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. So it begins to talk to us about emotionally and who we are. And then relationally in verse 4 through 6, we need each other. We need each other. I need you. You need me. You need the people at the table together. I mean, it's the way of God. There is no isolated, lone ways. Things that are isolated, things that are alone, they usually are in places of darkness. And God wants to work through His church. The gift of Jesus, the gift of life, the gift of salvation, the gift of Holy Spirit, and the gift of giving. And really, going back to number 3, the gift of salvation really begins to happen whenever the gift of giving begins to be exercised through His people. And what we just read, I say I just read something. Is anybody confused? Yeah, I just looked down at my Bible, and guess what I just read from y'all? Read to you, 1 Corinthians 12. It went along with the passage. Why didn't somebody say something, dude? You just didn't read the right thing. Hey, we're family here. And why I went to 1 Corinthians 12, I don't know. But they're very similar in passage. Let's read Romans 12, 1 through 6. As I was reading that, I was like, I don't remember it being like that. But you get in front of a bunch of people and things change. I mean, they really do. You know, you're kind of like a deer in headlights. But thank you, Lord, for showing me that. Because y'all thought, dude, that ain't jiving. Let's try this again. Romans 12, 1 through 6. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Starting to make sense now? Yeah. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And then, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted for each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. And it says here, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. We have gifts, it tells us, and that they differ, and we are to exercise them accordingly. And again, as just they affect us physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and relationally. And I hope that makes more sense now as it comes. But read 1 Corinthians 12 too, is good. And it really, it's correlates with Romans 12 very well. But that gift of giving, we need each other. And there's a lost world that needs us too. That God's plan, it was to send Jesus Christ to come and live as an example for us, and then to make disciples who would make disciples who would make disciples, and to go and keep on passing down the things of God through generation to generation to generation. We have the gift of giving of ourselves, and how and in order to fulfill the things of God. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." He gave all, and then he calls us to do the same, for us to give all. All of us. We can't just show up on Sunday morning and live the rest of our days, and hours, living like whatever we want to do. If there are things that we're doing in the dark that we can't bring into the light, there's a need for repentance. There's a need of confession. There's a need for change. 1 Timothy 1:6, here Timothy's being admonished, or he's given instructions, admonished in a good way. It's not a bad thing. But Paul writes here in 1 Timothy 1:6, he says, "Rekindle the gift that is in you." Why is that true? Because all followers of Christ have a gift. And whatever that may be, you can find it again in Romans 12. If you continue reading past verse 6, you can also find that in 1 Corinthians 12, which we visited today too. And you can find that, but you have been given a gift. And God wants to work through that gift in this world. It says, "Rekindle the gift of God that is in you." Then in verses 1 through 2, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So what's he talking about? He's talking about the Great Commission here. Give the good news and the commandments of Jesus. We have the gift of giving. Giving the things that Christ gave, and giving the things of God through the gift that we have been given. Nothing is to be hoarded. Nothing is to just be held onto. But everything is to be flowing through us, as we have looked at so many things. So give. I mean, just the word give. What have we been given? Now, we can sit together and we can have a conversation around the table, and we can compile a really long list. But some things, that just wrap it up, we've been given grace. Anybody been given grace? Amen. We're to give grace. We're to give grace. There's no place that we're supposed to be given judgment and being ugly to people and excluding people for those things. Now, we're to be countercultural. We're not to engage in the things of the world. We're to be set apart. But there is also the love and the grace of God. Grace to one another. Nobody's perfect here. And the grace to the people in our family that come together around Christmas. Is there anybody that's just kind of not excited about Christmas dinner because you know so-and-so's coming? Oh, grace. Grace. The Lord, fill us with grace. He's given it to us, and we're to give it to other people as well. Next, grace and love. Love, talking about an agape love, not a eros love, like a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife type of love. It's talking about an agape love. I love you because the same life that I have as far as taking in oxygen and living on this earth, God gave me and he gave you too. And there's an agape love that is Christ-like, that works through us. And the closest to some people that they will ever see of God, the closest of the light of God that they will see, we find this in 1 John 4, is when his love is seen through us. And it's a hope for a lost world. We can give grace, we can give love, and then give truth. Now, giving grace and giving love is really not love absent of truth. I mean, we don't give truth in a way that's condemning, but it's a truth that is loving and a truth that is factual and a truth that may even get thrown back in your face and a truth that may be challenging. But the truth is we have a loving God who has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And there's so much more in that. The truth, your testimony is true. Your testimony can change lives. And we give it away. Give your testimony away. There is power in your testimony. And then finally, again, the list can go on. I only listed four here. We have grace, we have love, we have truth, we've received those things, and then provision, whatever that is. And I didn't write the passage down, but those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, those who are in need, it talks about helping those folks out. And family first, it talks about family first, and it talks about those that he puts into our life. The big idea today comes from Matthew 10:8, the second part of Matthew 10:8 that I read in the beginning, is freely you received, freely give. What does that mean? Is that the things that of God that have come into our life that he has given us is to flow freely through us. And then, again, give Jesus, give of your life, the good news of salvation, give as the Holy Spirit leads, and may all your giving, as we go into continue through the Christmas thing, the Christmas season, may all of it be intentional. May all of it glorify God.